I got my girlfriend an engagement ring for Christmas. I think I won the holiday, dude. I really do. I don't think her, if she had a Kings jersey lined up for me, I don't think that's going to live up to the hype an engagement ring did. I think I just completely destroyed Bree this Christmas. What do you think?
I mean, it's not even fair. Not even a competition at this point.
That's what I'm saying. Like, if she got me...
She could get you a new car, and it wouldn't matter.
Is there any gift that tops
an engagement? A baby? She just pushed one out on the 25th?
And push one out. Oh, God. I hope not. Would season tickets to the Kings game be better? To the Kings?
I hope not. For your, there'd be a pretty short engagement if that was the case.
Yeah, right. Oh, my goodness. It's funny because, so obviously, you know, for those of you who don't follow me on Instagram, Bree and I, we got engaged. And it was funny because the day before, the day after, I can't really remember. It's not too relevant to the story, but I was wearing a pair of my slippers that are like really, really old. I have these old pair of slippers that I've just been wearing for the past couple of years, and they didn't smell great. they were just really old and janky. And then
why didn't they smell great? You like pee on them or something?
No, I've had them for like 3 years. So I think just over the course of using them for 3 years, they were just old. And they smelled old. Anyway, Bree noticed and
is it pretty common for you to have foot odor?
No, it's not. But like I'm saying, like I said, I think it's just because they're so freaking old. And I usually would never wear like socks when I wore my slippers, so there was just bare feet. And so anyway, she noticed that they didn't smell good, so she made me throw them away. And I was like, "Well, you just made me throw away my favorite pair of slippers. Now what the heck am I supposed to do?" And she ends up coming out and giving me a new pair of slippers, which I had asked for Christmas. And she was like, "Here you go." And now she's continually gone back and she's like, "Well, I feel bad because I got you a pair of slippers for Christmas and you got me an engagement ring."
So does this mean that you're like absolved from getting her any other present this year?
Oh, I didn't get her anything else. I mean,
I feel like cheating.
It might be cheating a little bit, but my friend.
So that's why you planned it. That's why you planned it for December, because you're like, "Oh, two birds with one stone here. I'll get an engagement ring that she's been asking for, and I won't have to get her a Christmas guy."
Well, so here's the other thing too. I ended up getting a very lovely Christmas gift from one of my long-term clients that I have at the gym. And what we had initially done, I mean, what we used the money towards was to go to a Kings game. But I had a little bit of extra cash that I decided to use to buy Bree a De'Aaron Fox jersey for the game. Because I had my Stojakovic jersey. Natalie has her Keegan Murray jersey. The three of us were going to a game. She didn't have a jersey. She felt a little left out. So I decided early Christmas present, ! I'll get her a jersey. So I ended up getting her a jersey. And we just sort of ended up calling that the Christmas present. But you're right. I mean, in terms of like actual stuff to like unwrap on Christmas, no, I don't have anything.
So is Bree like freaking out? Because again, there's no way that she's gonna be able to match it.
That's what I'm saying. I don't think she's like freaking out about it, but it has been a topic of conversation, I will say.
I'd be rubbing that in.
It has been a topic of conversation, which I just find very funny, because it's obviously not a competition, but I mean, if it was.
Well, you want to win. I mean, it's not a competition. It's not a competition, but you want to win.
Right, exactly.
Exactly. But again, not a competition.
No. Of course not a competition.
But I have won every year except for one.
Right, exactly. the Raiders game last week wasn't a competition. So, anyway, 63.
Who cares, dude? That team's done.
It's still fun to see. it was still fun to see. Speaking of non-competitive games, we are filming this December 22nd. It is 9:19 at night, and currently the Sacramento Kings are just destroying the Phoenix Suns, which, by the way, Devin Booker playing, Kevin Durant playing, doesn't matter. Right now it's 116-94. The game is not even close. The Kings have five players in double digits. And I got to tell you, they really, really, really needed that game after they just got boat race was it 2 days ago? Wednesday,
yeah,
December 20th.
Yeah.
What an Kings, awesome showing that was.
Yeah, Boston made Sacramento look like a JV team. I mean, that was bad. That was a mismatch.
Yeah, it was. And, you know, so they ended up scoring Boston. This is Boston. 38, 36, 39, 31. That was the how many points they scored across each quarter. The first half was, I mean, we were down by like 10 going into halftime, but it still felt like they could hang out, like they could hang in there. And then, man, just the fact that they outscored the Kings by 15 points in the third quarter, it felt like every single player on the Celtics was knocking down threes, which it's not like the Kings weren't either. I mean, if you look at the spread, the Celtics made 22, the Kings made 21. The Celtics were 52% from the three, and the Kings were 47% from the three-point line. But again, I don't know what it was. I can't really put my finger on it, but just why it felt like the Celtics seemed like they were just making so many more shots than the Kings.
Well, I think it's a weird game. I think it was also, too, like there was garbage time pretty early in that game. I think a lot of guys for the Kings that don't normally play a lot of minutes got in there and made some shots. So that kind of skews a little bit of the if you look at the plus minus, all the starters had above negative 15 plus minus in that game. There were guys that had minus 30. I think Trey Lyles had like a minus 30. But is Boston the best team in the league? After seeing them now play the Kings?
They might be. And they also did that to the Kings without Jason Tatum. I didn't even realize he wasn't playing in the game.
Oh, he wasn't?
No, because when I came home from work, the game had already started. I ended up taking a shower, so I missed, like, as soon as I got home. So I missed the first quarter and most of the second quarter. And when I came back out, yeah, they showed him on the sideline. He wasn't even playing.
Well, it was definitely the Derek White show. Drew Holiday, I think, probably had one of his better offensive games in that game.
Just destroyed everybody.
Yeah, what did they? They got 20, I think, from Kristaps, Drew Holiday, Derek White, and Jalen Brown.
They had five players over 20 points.
And if you just add Jason Tatum, which the Kings, I don't think Keegan could put in a good showing, but I don't think there's anyone on the Kings roster that can guard Jason Tatum if he's hitting shots. So that's just, I mean, luckily Boston is in the Eastern Conference because they are maybe the worst matchup for the Kings.
You know that they're 14-0 at home?
Boston?
Yeah.
And they've had some injury problems. I mean, Kristaps has missed some time. Jason Tatum's missing some time now. So they're not even fully loaded. This isn't the best version of that team, and they're still dominating.
Yeah, they're 21-6. Some of their recent games, I mean, they lost to the Warriors. They beat the Magic, and they beat the Magic twice. And the Magic I'm looking at their schedule right now. They went back to back Cleveland, back to back Magic, and they beat Cleveland back to back games. They beat the Magic back to back games. They lost in overtime to the Warriors, and then they bludgeoned the Kings. Yeah, I mean, without Jason Tatum, the fact that you can put up 144 points, I mean, that's – or I guess if you're the Kings, the fact that you gave up 144 – what's worse? The fact that you give up 144 points with no Jason Tatum, or the fact that you can score 144 points without Jason Tatum? Like, is one worse or better?
Oh, like it is – in like the fact that Boston could do that, is that more impressive?
Yeah, that was a horrible way for me to phrase it.
I was like, well, obviously the Kings
give it up. No, that was, yeah. Because the use of the word worse right there was completely backwards. you know what I'm trying to say.
Yeah, I got you.
Is it more impressive that the Celtics did that, or more concerning that the Kings let that slip?
I mean, I'd probably say it's more concerning for the Kings. Given we knew this defense was bad. We thought it was maybe a little better than last year. It's kind of averaging the same amount as they were last year, giving up per game, especially with that 144 helped push that number up. But like you said, Jason Tatum, a guy that would have given this Kings team nightmares matchup wise, is out. So they can put Keegan on Jaylen Brown. They could put HB, I guess, on kind of Jaylen Brown. But the fact that Derek White was like the primary guy that just was the catalyst that totally destroyed the Kings. Like that's a guy in a playoff situation. That's something that should never happen, right? Like you can live with Jason Tatum beating you or Jaylen Brown beating you. But the fact that a guy like Derek White or Jrue Holiday, who they're not even scheming up points for, scheming up plays for, is getting production is like, that's just, it's got to be some sort of lapse effort-wise, some sort of lapse scheme-wise, and then it just wasn't their night.
Well, and this is coming off of, like, that Celtics game. The previous game, the Kings had given up 131 to the Wizards.
The Wizards, the third worst team in the league?
Yeah, I mean, if we go down to the bottom, the Pistons are 2-26. The Spurs,
they got it. Yep, they got that worst.
Yeah, so it's got to be, yeah, the Pistons right now are the worst. So, I mean, that I don't want to say that that's worst. The fact that they gave up 131 to the Wizards.
Well, I mean, we could tonight, I think, is a huge step in that direction. Like, they've only given up 101 points to Phoenix so far with a minute left. And something about Phoenix, too, it's funny. It's like, they seem like they're one superstar away. And it's like they have him on the roster. Bradley Beal just can't be healthy this year.
I know.
Which is so bizarre.
But you know what? Chimezie Metu coming in for the Suns. 10 points against his former team.
Yeah, I always liked Chimezie when he was here.
I know, I did too. It's nice to say. I saw his name on the box sheet. He played 11 minutes, scored 10 points. Good for him, man. I'm glad he's getting at least some playing time right now.
So who, really quickly, I guess just to throw this out there, because I think the Kings are two pieces away from being hopefully considered actual contenders in the West. Right. Like, I think that they can finish as the fourth seed in this Western Conference if they continue what they're doing. But to be actually taken seriously, I think they need another perimeter defender. Yeah. And I think they need another big body.
Well, it's funny you mentioned that because when we were at the game a few days ago against the Thunder, I had texted you and Ben and said, I really like Trey Lyles and Sabonis out there together. I don't feel like that's a lineup that we see all that often with the Kings, but that added size is something, because I think the lineup that they had out there, if I remember correctly, was Sabonis, Trey, I think Keegan was out there, and Herter. So you have Herter, who's a sneaky 6'7", which I still don't believe that's true. Keegan, I think, is 6'8". And then Trey, I think, is 6'10", and Sabonis is 7'1". So you have a pretty big lineup right there. And I just really liked how Trey and Sabonis were playing off of each other, especially because Trey is a big body that doesn't have to be in the post, and we can still find ways to utilize him and utilize his size in terms of defensive rebounding. And even just on offense, like, I could spiral on that for a few more minutes. I don't, in order to keep the segment moving along.
Yeah, you didn't answer that question at all.
Well, you didn't really ask a question.
Well, I'm saying who out there would be perfect for the Kings, especially a big body. I'm more so thinking about the JaVale McGee minutes because there's plays that JaVale McGee makes where it's like, okay, wow, that was awesome. But then you get five other plays during a game where it's just like, I don't want to say knucklehead behavior, because that's like not fair. Like, obviously he's a smart basketball player. He's like seeming like a nice guy, but it's like, there's just mistakes out there that I wish that the Kings had a big body to throw at Jokic, at Anthony Davis, at Joel Embiid, at some of these, Rudy Gobert and Karl Anthony Towns. Like, they're going to need a defensive big to match up against those teams, because let's be honest, Sabonis isn't that.
Yeah, they don't have a bully.
Yep.
Like, they don't have a Steven Adams.
Like, Jonas Valanciunas has given this team problems. Sengun has given this team problems. For whatever reason, the Clippers are giving this team problems, but that's a whole nother story. I think that's perimeter defense, because I don't think it's Zubox, really. Right.
But
Kevon Looney has given this team a lot of problems.
Yeah, absolutely. And you and I had talked about this last year, even at the beginning of the season. The team that we had highlighted, even before the Timberwolves decided that they were just going to steamroll us, we had pointed out the fact that if the Kings were going to struggle against the team, it was most likely going to be the Timberwolves, because they're just gigantic. And they have two people who can kind of be that bully in Towns and Gobert. You're right. Sabonis, for as much as I love him, and he brings just, I mean, he's a mini Jokic in terms of like being able to score, pass, and rebound. But Jokic, I mean, he literally is that. He's a mini Jokic, because he just doesn't move people the same way that, guys like Joel or Steven Adams does. Like, Sabonis is going to make a move to go around you, and from time to time, he's going to drop his shoulder. And I think he's just going to more so not push you backwards. He's just going to hit you and have enough speed to get by you. Which is funny, because I feel like he just gets clobbered. Like, he's down there fighting.
He gets hit in the face at least five times a game.
I know. He gets hit in the face five times a game because he's not big enough to push people out of the way.
I'm not saying that they need, like, another option. To bench Sabonis. I think Sabonis should still be the starter. Like, he's still a focal point for this team. He's still an all-NBA center, and I think he's still playing like it. I think the Kings just need another look to throw at teams, because when they go Sabonis to JaVale McGee, both of those guys are lighter in frame. So you're not really – like, you're giving up the offensive capabilities when Sabonis goes out for JaVale McGee, but then the defense just isn't matching up. I think a guy like Isaiah Stewart – from Detroit, or if they could somehow get Naz Reid out of Minnesota, which I know he just signed, I think, like a 3-year deal this offseason. So that would take a lot of finagling, but they need just another big body to throw at teams just for a couple minute spurts.
I mean, Naz Reid isn't gigantic. He's 6'9".
No, but he's stocky.
He is, very much so. You're right. I do think they need a body. I think a big body. That would be the way to describe
like
it.
Like, Kevon Looney isn't tall, ginormous, but he's plays bigger than what he is.
Yeah, and that matchup has pissed me off ever since the last the playoffs last year, because I don't know what it is. I don't know why. Like, I really can't figure out the justification behind Sabonis just going at, because I watched him in games just attack Jokic and attack Zion and attack, I don't know, all these big, gigantic
Anthony Davis.
Yes, there was, because he had a stint this season where they played the Lakers, and then they played the Spurs. He just went after Anthony Davis, and he went after Wembanyama. But I cannot for the life of me understand why Looney, he just doesn't appear to want to do that. And I don't know what it is about Looney, because you'd think that Anthony Davis would present a bigger challenge for Sabonis, because not only is AD big and strong, but he's also fast. And Looney's not. Looney's just a wall. Now, he's very good at being a wall. He clearly shuts down Sabonis.
Yep.
But again, I just don't understand why he has such a tough time with that matchup. And, I mean, at the end of the day, Fox is our number one option. He absolutely will always be that. But if Sabonis is not giving you 15, 10, and 10, then it's really noticeable for the team. Extremely noticeable.
Well, they need – I mean, he's the second option. And when he's not that, the team really looks like not a well-oiled machine.
Do you think
when he's not being aggressive.
In terms of the second option.
What was that?
Do you think he's still a second option, or do you think Keegan has turned into the second option?
No, I think I think second option in terms of it's either De'Aaron is making decisions or Sabonis is making decisions.
Right.
It doesn't mean that they're going to end with a shot in that possession, but it's either the offense is running through Fox or it's running through Sabonis.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think Sabonis, we love him because he's so unselfish and he's trying to get guys open. But then there's also times where, dude, you're running with the second unit. You need to dominate this backup center that's in.
Right. I mean, tonight he had 28, 11, and 11.
Played really well.
Like, you're really not going to have almost any other center outside of him and Jokic giving you that stat line. Although there is a guy, what is his name on the Rockets?
Sengun.
Sengun, yes. Sengun would do that, as evidenced by watching him do that to the Kings twice.
Oh, my gosh. He cooked Sabonis.
Yes, he did.
I wish Steven Adams was healthy this year. I think he would be perfect for this team. I'd almost kind of think like a Clint Capella.
Oh, man, I was advocating for Clint Capella so hard. You remember that when we didn't have Sabonis? That was the guy who I was pulling for.
But I think he's a little too pricey now.
Yeah, he probably is.
Especially for like a backup role, because I don't think he can play with Sabonis. I think that would be a little overkill.
Yeah, you need space around Sabonis. He's such a good passer. That's why I was saying I really liked Trey, because not only does he give you another big to go in for defensive and offensive rebounds, but he doesn't have to be under the basket. So you can afford to push him out to the three-point line and still allow Sabonis to drive in and kick to Trey, because Trey doesn't have to be down. Like Sabonis and JaVale would not be a good combo together.
No.
But you can afford.
So the other thing, right? The other piece, a defensive wing. It's looking like that Kevin Huerter spot is what I hate it, man. I wish Kevin was playing better. I know I don't think it's his fault. I guess it kind of is his fault. It's only really his fault, but it just sucks that they need another option in that spot. And I think they need a guy, a really athletic, lengthy wing, like a Derrick Jones Jr. Herb Jones for New Orleans would be absolutely perfect. Oh. For that spot, he tormented the Kings when they played them. The dangling this fruit over the Kings' heads again, OG Anunoby.
I know.
He's out there.
He is.
Please don't go get Zach LaVine. That does not help this team whatsoever.
No, they don't need more scoring.
But the Kings and the Lakers are the only teams that are linked to him.
Yeah, the Kings have – I mean – okay, so let's live in a world for a second where you take Kevin Huerter out of the lineup. You still have Fox, Keegan, who is really starting to come into his own scoring-wise. HB is still going to have nights where he'll give you 10, but then he'll have nights where he'll give you 20 and 25. Sabonis is always going to be consistent. Malik comes off the bench, and, I mean, that dude is – he should always be a king. I never want him to not be a king.
He's so perfect.
And then, so you're right. It's the Kings aren't lacking in offensive firepower. So you could, I really like the idea of Herb Jones because, again, he's not the most flashy offensive player, but we don't need that. We need somebody, like you said, who's going to be physical on defense. I mean, he's 6'8", 210. He's averaging 47% from the field and 30% from the three-point line, 11 points. Again, Kevin Huerter right now is averaging 11 points.
Yeah.
Man, having – yeah, Herb Jones would be outstanding. I don't think Herb Jones would cost you that much either.
I don't think he's available. I think New Orleans really likes him.
Well, I don't see how you couldn't. I mean, that dude is just, I mean, he's one of the best on-ball defenders in the NBA, like, bar none.
Like, I think we could sit here and say, like, there could be Kings fans out there, like, well, we have that on the roster. Like, Chris Duarte was supposed to be that. Or, like, Kevin Huerter, you just mentioned he's 6'7". Like, why can't he be that? But I think they're just slower-footed, almost. Like, they're not as quick.
Yeah,
as Herb Jones. Like, Herb Jones was taking De'Aaron Fox the full length of the court. That's the other thing, right? Like, watching teams that have had really good success against the Kings have been taking De'Aaron Fox, guarding him the full length of the court.
Yeah.
Like, they put Jose Alvarado or Herb Jones or Trey Murphy or, I mean, New Orleans, if we can talk about a team that I don't want the Kings to play. Minnesota's up there, obviously, because they're the number one seed and looking like the best teams in the West. But New Orleans, if New Orleans somehow finds a way to get into the playoffs, I do not want the Kings to play them, because they pretty much their whole roster is full of guys to throw at De'Aaron Fox.
Yeah.
But the Kings just need a guy like a Gary Payton.
Yeah.
Gary Payton would be so perfect. I want the Kings to start picking up guys full of, like Davion Mitchell used to do that.
Yes, but now KM Ellis is taking his minutes, so.
Yeah. Like, I think they just need to start. They do it with Steph Curry, but they need to start doing it with a lot of guys. Because it's getting – this defensive scheme just isn't it.
No, I agree. I would love for the Kings to go out and get a defensive guy. You're right. And I don't – if you could choose, because we just highlighted two things that the Kings might need, and we'll finish this before we move on to the NFL. If you could pick, like, what you think the bigger – priority should be for the Kings, would it be that defensive wing or would it be a big?
Oh, that's tough,
because I think I have a pretty clear answer of what I would want.
I think you got to look at what other teams in the West have. So you're looking at guys like, I think the biggest one that jumps out is Jokic. Like, how would the Kings, if they somehow got to a series against the Nuggets, they would absolutely get slaughtered by their size with Gordon, Jokic, and everything else. Michael Porter Jr. Like, the Kings can't contend with that. And Minnesota jumps out huge. Like, there's no way this team, and I know they beat Minnesota already this year, so it's, but not like,
they also beat Denver this year too.
They have, yeah. But Jamal Murray was out.
Right.
Right. So I think it's got to be the size.
See, I would lean towards the defensive wing. Like, I understand, I get what you're saying, and I know that what we have been saying all along about this team, ever since the beginning of last season, is that the Kings are going to struggle against bigger teams. So it would make sense on paper to go get somebody who can counter that. However, I don't believe that JaVale McGee has been playing as poorly as you made it out to seem. I don't know. I don't think you were bagging on JaVale.
No, not at all.
But I also think that I feel like I've seen more good from him this year than bad. And maybe I misunderstood or misinterpreted what you were saying.
Which is probably true.
Okay. But I feel like having a defensive wing would be more beneficial, because the Kings already are so offensive heavy that I feel like if you could get one guy in that starting unit to sort of maybe change the whole, I mean, you wouldn't be changing the culture or anything like that, but if you could get one guy who just pulls the starters in and goes, look, we're going to stop them right now. And everybody needs to buy in right now. I feel like that is going to benefit the Kings more often in the long run than just having one guy who can go up against Minnesota and New Orleans under the assumption that you may see them in the playoffs.
Like, look at the best teams in the West right now. Like, you got Minnesota. I think that they have a prototype, right? With what the heck? Minnesota has a prototype, right? Like, they have Jaden McDaniels, who is that defensive-minded guy, but hits shots in offense. Like, he's not – like, if I hear, oh, Kessler Edwards is the Kings' answer, no, that guy can't dribble a basketball and is scared to shoot a wide-open three. So he can't be out on the court right now. Not to say he can't be on the court later, just right now what we've seen, he's not it. They need, a Derrick Jones – Junior, he's just there to play defense and hit open threes. That's it. I think of Thunder, Lou Dort, guy that made James Harden's life a living nightmare a few years ago. He's just there to play defense on the perimeter and hit open threes
and have an awesome name.
Yeah, he's got a pretty good, but you're talking about the Thunder, Minnesota. Bruce Brown was kind of that guy for Denver last year. He was kind of that defensive spark plug guy. They got Christian Brown now doing that. But who is that for the Kings? Keegan's kind of trying to be that, but he's not a demonstrative personality.
No.
Wise, where he's going to take over that game. And this is, again, I know you don't confuse this as me bagging on Keegan. It's just, I don't think he's, that's the role he's filling right now. I think they need another guy to fill that to make Keegan's life easier. Because if Keegan is your second best defender, I think that's a way better spot for him than being this team's primary defender and then going and running around on offense trying to hit open shots.
Right.
Right. That's just asking too much of Keegan right now. Why not get a guy like an OG Anunoby who I think everyone thinks can be that all-league defensive player and hit threes.
Right. And we've been talking about OG Anunoby for what, 2 years now?
How much is he going to cost?
I don't know.
With all this hype and the fact that Toronto still hasn't traded. I think, Alex Caruso, too. Yep. I think he would be that guy.
Yes, he would be great. I would love to have Caruso.
And you also think Cam Reddish right now is filling that role for the Lakers. The Kings don't even have, I don't even think I have a guy like Cam Reddish level. And we're talking about a guy that was almost out of the league.
You know who we have that kind of ends up being that inversely. So we're talking about having a guy who can sort of be that defensive energizer, spark plug. We kind of have that guy just on the inverse because Malik is that for the offense.
Yeah, big time.
As soon as the starters go dull, you just throw in Malik and he's going to immediately come in and probably hit a shot and just get everything going. I don't know. He's got a superpower. It's crazy. He should never start. Because
it's infectious energy, right? You can't help. It's him making a shot is different than Kevin Huerter making a shot.
Yeah.
Even though they could both make a three, but him doing it, him mean mugging, him doing the upside down three, and it's timing too. It's ending quarters. It's right when the Kings need it to answer and things like that. All those things go into it, and it's always Malik Monk.
Yes, and if we could, and all we're really asking for is the inverse of that from a defensive standpoint. You just need somebody who can get the team going defensively, and we just, right now, they just do not have it. So I truthfully, I think that's why I would lean towards a defensive wing, because I think you're going to benefit more in more matchups from having that than you would from having the big, even though the teams that we think the Kings are going to struggle against the most are going to be the teams that are huge. But that's just, I don't know. That's kind of how I'm leaning in that situation. The Kings play tomorrow. It is December 22nd right now. They play tomorrow against the Timberwolves.
Ooh, on a back-to-back?
On a back-to-back. And I think, because I know we're on a ridiculously long homestand right now, That is the last game of the homestand.
Okay.
Which they did really well on this homestand. They beat the Thunder, they beat the Jazz, they beat the Wizards, they lost to the Celtics, and then they beat the Suns. So they're protecting home court. At home so far.
The Kings are really perplexing because they have 10 losses, but they have only lost to like four different teams.
I know.
But they've beaten all the best teams in the West.
Right.
And they've beaten, I think, the Thunder, Minnesota, Denver, I think is everyone's like, in the Lakers different times this year, but they've kind of fallen off after that in-season tournament win. Like everyone's like, oh yeah, those are the teams that we think are going to win the West. And the Kings have beaten all of them.
Yes.
Without losing to them. But then they've also lost to the freaking Clippers.
Yes.
Three times, I want to say.
Mm-hmm.
The Warriors twice and New Orleans three times. And then Houston twice.
Twice.
So it's like, where's the rhyme or reason with this team?
I don't know. I mean, it's just honestly, I mean, more than anything, I think so, throughout this season, it's so nice to just kind of have this expectation that they're going to play well. Because it's just after last year, it was like, okay, this was really fun. I hope this happens again. And I think thankfully we've gotten some confirmation that this team really is good and they should be good for a little while. There's just like one or two things that they need to patch up in order to get where we all want them to go.
Well, isn't it nice that we're no longer, as King fans, praying for effort every single night? Now it's like, okay, we see the effort, we see the talent, we see the drive and direction. Now it's like, okay, we want to win every – now it's like an expectation to win every night.
Right. And you know what? To close off on the Kings, when we were – when you guys all came up to spend dinner with Bree and I remember I was talking to Anjali, Ben's fiance, for everybody who's listening. I was talking to her, and I kind of said it tongue in cheek, like as a joke, but it was totally true that for you, Ben and I, when we all met, I met Ben in middle school, we met you in high school. Literally from up until last year, the only conversations that we were having about the Kings were all like negative. they were through the entire time of our friendship, like through all of high school and through all of college, like they were just bad. And last year, and I was just kind of jokingly explaining it to Anjali, I was like, it's a whole new topic of conversation for the three of us. Like, we've never talked about this team this way. It was always negative. So as much as we like joke about how we're gigantic Kings fans, and sometimes we play it up for just as a joke, it's
who's playing it up?
Well, that's fair. It really is one of those things where it's like, it's nice. Because it's new. It's not something that really any Kings fan has experienced in the last, 15, 20 years. So it's just – it's a total new thing for a lot of people, and we're just – it's very enjoyable. So
yeah, we're just working through it. The last thing I have for the Kings, the Kings are so prominent for us that we are at dinner. This is the first time I've seen you since you have proposed. Your family's there. Her family's there. Friends are there. Ben is there with his fiance, like you said. I'm there with my girlfriend. And as soon as we saw the news that Fox was out, it was like the engagement took a backseat for you, your dad, Ben, and I. And we're all like, wait, Fox is out? Whoa, what's wrong with him? What's wrong with his shoulder? He's going to be out for a long time? Like, what's happening here? And it's like panic just surrounded the table.
I know. And even Bree. I looked at her and she was like, what's going on? I was like, Fox is out. She's like, what?
the night is ruined.
She was like, wait, what? I was like, there's my fiance. Yes.
Yes, I made the right choice.
Yes.
Dad, I did it.
Oh, it was so good. It was so good. But yes, that legitimately concerned me. That was a terrifying moment. And otherwise, what was a great night. Oh, man. All right. A lot of talk about the Kings, rightfully so. We're obviously not going to hide our bias towards the Kings. So, anyway, let's move our way towards the NFL. We didn't get to talk about last week. We don't necessarily have to spend any time on last week. We'll look forward to this week. A lot of games happening on the 24th, a few happening on the 25th, and then also one happening two happening tomorrow, which would be Saturday. So we got games Saturday, Sunday, and Monday. First game of the week was Rams-Saints. Rams, they have fought their way back into this. They are 8-7, right in the thick of the playoff hunt. I think it's, for me, I don't know about you, but when it came to the Rams, I had totally forgotten, I think it was one of those things where they started off so bad, but they started off really bad because everybody was kind of hurt. And now they're getting healthy, and they've won back-to-back games. They almost beat the Ravens, They beat a tough defense in the Browns. And they also beat the Cardinals and the Seahawks. And those are their last seven games. I don't think anybody wants to see the Rams if they get into the playoffs. I'm not saying that they're world beaters or anything, but they're one of the hotter teams in the NFL right now. I would be concerned to play the Rams.
They've certainly propelled themselves into top of the NFC conversation. It'll be tough. They'll be matching up against either Dallas or no, they'll match up against, granted that they finish as the best wild card. If they continue to play, I mean, they got the Giants and the Niners left, and who knows if the Niners already have the first seed sewn up, then that might be an easier game. So, I give them the edge to finish as the top wild card. Oh, well.
Gosh. No, because it's going to be.
Yeah, I forget about that. It's like, because the NFC South is so bad, it should just be like Dallas and Philly both get home games.
Right.
Like, that's how it should work. But you're right. I think they've propelled to be like the fourth best team. This whole thing, maybe it's just because I'm watching the Pat McAfee show and they're like, trying to beef up, like they're trying to talk up everyone, but they're like, oh, Detroit, like watch out, they might get the first seed. It's like 2 weeks ago, this team we all thought was bad because they lost to the Bears, right, and they have a bad defense, and now they're like the best team in the NFC. I don't get it.
So their remaining games are, they get the Lions twice, and then they're at Dallas.
Who?
The Lions.
They get the Lions twice?
Oh, did I? I'm sorry. They get the Vikings twice. My bad.
Are those like just in-house scrimmages? Who wins? Who gets the loss and who gets the win for those?
I don't know. Sure. But they get the Vikings twice, and then they're at Dallas. That at Dallas game, that's Saturday, December 30th.
Mm-hmm.
That's very interesting because that could be a playoff preview. If Detroit goes on the road and beats Dallas, then I think they have a legit shot at getting that one seed. I don't know what's San Francisco's remaining games, because I don't know if you've been. Oh, I guess San Francisco's 11-3, so probably not. But
well, they have Baltimore. I mean, they could
Baltimore. I need to ask you this question because there's a term that I keep. A phrase that I keep hearing running around ESPN.
Uh-oh.
Do you think right now the playoffs are the San Francisco Invitational?
Because I keep saying that.
But if you've been listening to Get Up, then you'll hear that term being thrown around a bunch. There's a belief right now, at least on that show, that it really just is the San Francisco Invitational to not only the NFC Championship game, but the playoffs as well. Everybody seems to be riding the 49ers as the unquestioned, without a doubt, best team in the NFL. As a fan, one, does that make you nervous? And two, do you agree with it?
I agree with it. But number one, first and foremost, that makes me extremely nervous.
Right.
I don't think you ever want to feel like in any situation in life that you have it covered and you got it completely, because then you're not open for the possibility of tragedy.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you don't want to be in that, like that position at the tippy top before it's happened is the most vulnerable position, because you can fall the farthest out of anyone.
Yes.
The Niners could go and lose to Baltimore, and Brock Purdy could get hurt, and they lose to the Commanders and lose to the Rams. And then it's like, well, this season's done. Right? Like, proclaiming them now as the best means absolutely nothing. But with that said, I think if you were to do a accurate depiction of the NFL in tier list, the Niners would be at the top in their own tier and everyone else below.
Yeah, I agree. Is there any team in the league right now, AFC, NFC, that if the 49ers were to play them tomorrow, you would be legitimately worried they were going to lose?
Oh, I think that's disrespectful. There's a bunch of teams that, not Dallas, obviously, because Dallas finds a way to lose to San Francisco every week. But like Philly, Philly beat the Niners last year.
They did. But Philly then is not Philly now.
I mean, Philly's going to be fine, and they get the Giants twice and the Cardinals. Like, they're going to be feeling good. They're going to be fine. It's certainly not the Raiders. That's not the team that I'd say I'd be scared of. I'm
scared of them either.
I think,
unless you're the Chargers,
Baltimore poses, like, I've always said that the way to beat this Niner defense has been a extremely mobile quarterback, and you don't get a better mobile quarterback than Lamar Jackson.
How do you feel about the Bills right now?
Bills are scary, man. I think the Bills have a lot of holes from those injuries that we talked about early in the year, and it's awesome that they're running the ball this productively. Like, that's what people have been asking for since Josh Allen came into the league. Mm-hmm. But with that running attack, I mean, as a proud owner of Stephon Diggs in fantasy, he has been trash the last 7 weeks.
Yeah.
So don't tell me that Josh Allen now is this MVP candidate, because that passing attack has not been the same.
Mm-hmm. So they ran, I believe, for over 200 yards.
They did against Dallas.
Against Dallas, which is,
I think they ran like 40 times.
Yeah, which is just unbelievable. For a team that probably didn't run the ball 200 times last year. that one was, in a way, first of all, from a standpoint of, if you don't like listening to the just absolute meat writing that the media does on Dallas, watching the Bills beat up on Dallas was so much fun. But it was such a head-scratcher, too. And Josh Allen pointed it out at the end of the game. He was like, I just feel like I got an A on a group project that I didn't do anything in.
Do you think that the Niners are the best team?
I do right now, yes. If we're gonna again, health is going to be one of those things where every team is going to have to deal with in the playoffs. But again, I kind of hate making that argument.
Yeah.
Because, I mean,
it's lazy.
It really is lazy. Like, if the Eagles lost, I mean, if you're telling me right now that the Eagles lose AJ Brown, well, then I don't think they're going to the Super Bowl. same thing with like if the Cowboys lost CeeDee, I don't think they're going to the Super Bowl. So like you can make that argument for everybody. But I lost my train of thought, so let's just move off of it.
Okay.
I had a good point, but whatever. Anyway, looking ahead to the games this week, the schedule makers were just eating this weekend. there's so many good games to start with.
Yep.
First of all, I think the Browns Texans game could be really good. That's going to be that's interesting from a standpoint of that
CJ Stroud's out.
That's playoff positioning for both of those teams. The Jaguars Buccaneers, that's also going to be a very interesting game. That's playoff positioning for both teams as well. You also have the Dolphins Cowboys game, which is massive. Yep. That's the game of one of these teams is eventually going to have to beat a good team.
And it might just be, does it count if they beat each other?
What if they tie? I heard that thrown out on.
Well, that's not fair because Dallas beat Philly. Like they'd beaten a good team.
And then you have the Ravens and the 49ers Christmas night.
Yep.
That's amazing. The Raiders and the 49ers play on Christmas. That's fantastic for both of us.
I know. I saw that. Christmas morning, opening up some presents, then go and watch the Raider game. That's pretty fun.
I know.
Do you have Raider jammies?
I don't have Raider jammies. I have Kings jammies.
We need it. See, Bree, I know you're not listening because you never listen, but if you listen to this tonight, you got to go get them. Some Raider jammies. You might just win Christmas.
I could have announced our engagement a week before on this show.
I know. I was thinking about it.
Yeah. And it would have been fine.
I would have been like, hey, dude, I wanted to be like, hey, dude, congratulations for this weekend. Like, we know it's not, she's not going to hear it. So I'm going over to, this is the thing. Like, this is Jenna and I's first Christmas back in town with the whole family. So, we're doing the, it's almost like touring dates where we have like scheduled appearances. So at her house, at my mom's, dad's, grandparents, all that stuff. So we're planning on being at her grandparents' house. And I remember that the Niners were playing on Christmas Day. And I was like, just making sure like the Niners game will be on at Christmas dinner. And she was like, well, if the Kings are playing, then probably not. And I'm like, oh, we don't have to worry about that. The Kings haven't played on Christmas Day in about 50, like probably 20 years.
Yeah.
So that's not a big problem. Okay, perfect.
What are the Christmas games? Bucks, Knicks. Okay.
Good game. That's a good game.
That's a good game. Warriors, Nuggets. That's a good game.
I'm not watching that game. I should boycott the Warriors.
Celtics, Lakers.
Wait, we haven't talked about Draymond, have we?
No, we didn't get a chance to talk about Draymond.
What a dumb did we? Maybe we talked about him, I feel like.
We didn't talk about the punch on this show.
Okay. We don't have to. He is what we knew he was.
Yes.
He's a clown. He's unraveling this year.
Yes.
You can continue. I'm sorry.
That was one of the dumbest things I've seen in a very long time.
Oh, I didn't mean to hit him in the face. Dude, oh, God.
Yeah, that was just, I don't know. His highlight reel at the end of his career is going to be very interesting.
Oh, I watched a couple TikToks of that. Him getting ejected. I forgot about the kicks.
Oh, the ding.
The kicks at Steven Adams?
Yeah.
I forgot about those.
Multiple.
Seeing those videos, I'm like, holy cow, that looked so unnatural.
Yes, multiple of them. Not just one time.
That's wild.
Absolutely crazy. But to circle it all the way back to week 16, I think the schedule makers were just having a good time this week. I'm sure they thought the Giants-Eagles game was going to be more, I don't know. Well, I guess it kind of is an interesting game because the Giants have been playing a lot better. The Tommy DeVito story has been very interesting. And Philly absolutely has to win out in order to secure the division. So I guess that really is more of an interesting game than I initially made it sound like.
The Giants did just get blown out by 24-6 to the Saints last week.
But they did. They did.
They did win three in a row before.
Yes.
That. I'll give you that. They won.
Divisional games are always weird. One of the things that I was going to run by you is if you
want
to do that three pick thing that I proposed.
Yeah. So I did it last week and you didn't take it seriously.
Well, because I wasn't planning on it being a last week. I was not prepared.
Okay. Do you have your three games?
Yeah, so it's three games. You have to get them all correct in order to get a point.
Okay.
So it'd be the three games that you'd be the most confident on. We can have the same games if you'd like. They don't have to be different. But yeah, three games, you have to get them right in order to go.
This is like a parlay, a big parlay.
I know. I'll pick my first one. I'm going to
Okay.
absolute definite that I'm going to go with. The Bills are definitely beating the Chargers.
Okay.
Don't worry. We're gonna get into maybe the riskier ones. But I
so you think they're covering 12.5? I don't think 12.5 is enough points.
Oh, are we doing the spread too?
I was gonna do the spread.
Oh, I was not looking at the spread, but I don't know.
Give me
the spread on that one too.
I don't think they could have made that 20.
They could have. They very easily could have. So that'll be my first. Who are you going with after that?
I like that one a lot. I really do.
You going with it too? All right.
No. I'm not going with it. All
right.
Don't put words in my mouth.
All right.
Oh, I like this one a lot.
All right, go for it. No dead air.
No, there's no dead air. I'm mumbling during the. You just give me your three. And then I'll give you my three. How's that?
All right.
See, you're getting on my case, but last week I did it.
Yeah, but you did it impromptu. You didn't put a lot of thought into it.
I'm not putting a lot of thought into this one. All right, either.
What's the spread for Niners Ravens?
5.5.
Okay. The 49ers will not cover, but I am putting in the fact that they definitely will beat the Ravens.
I like that.
49ers over the Ravens. I'm confident in that matchup on the road. So I will take that as my one of my guesses. And then I'm so tempted because I don't want to pick just like
good teams.
Like Chiefs over the Raiders. Blah, 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 blah. Like that feels like they're the Lions over the Vikings. I am really tempted to lean that Miami will beat Dallas.
Ooh, I like that one. You're going to guarantee that?
I kind of want to. And it's – I don't know. I was hearing so many statistics this morning on Get Up about how the Dolphins really at their core are a run-first team because it opens up so much of their passing attack. And if you remember – somebody made the good point. If you remember the year – like 2-3 years ago when Mike McDaniels was on the 49ers staff, he was, you know, a part of that, at least a few of the 49ers teams who absolutely destroyed the Cowboys in the playoffs. So if there's anybody who I would feel confident in to scheme up a good game plan against Dallas, it would be Mike McDaniels. And the Cowboys are on the road, which they have struggled with. They are 3-4 on the road and they are 7-0. At home. So I was kind of persuaded on the Dolphins. What's the spread for that game? Do you have that in front of you?
Yeah, I do. It is 1.5. Miami is favored by 1.5.
All right.
So kind of like a straight up.
Yeah, okay. I'm going to say the Finns are going to cover over Dallas.
Okay. Jason.
What's the 1.5? The 49ers will not cover the minus.
So you're picking. So how do we work this? So you're technically taking the Ravens.
I guess. I'm really picking really what I wanted it to be was I'm guaranteeing the 49ers are going.
All right. You just want to pick straight up winners?
That's kind of what I was doing, yes.
Okay. I'm taking the Commanders over the Jets.
Okay.
The Commanders are a 3-point underdog against the Jets.
All right.
I would like the 3 points, but I don't think I'll need them.
I don't think you will either.
I'm very tempted to take Cincinnati over Pittsburgh, but there's been a lot of – we didn't talk about that. There's been a lot of media buzz about how Pittsburgh's fallen off and, like, serious talk that Mike Tomlin should be fired.
Yeah, the whole
That's crazy.
The whole George Pickens thing was something we didn't get
to. Oh.
And that was one of, I will say, just if we could do like a 2 minute aside.
Yeah, do it. Go on it.
It was the one of the worst things I've ever heard a player say.
Oh, it's so lazy. That was so bad.
That was such a horrible thing to say. And in an honest moment, I'm sure he would take it back, but I don't know. He kind of doubled down on it.
I think he made it work. Yeah, like he, you're right. He doubled down on it. Like that made it way worse. It could, he could have just been like, yeah, I don't know. I made a mistake. Like that was just, that was ridiculous.
It's not like something he said and then pulled back. Like he said it and then kept going. Like he said that he wouldn't, he didn't want to get rolled up on. And then he doubled down by saying, you know, anybody who like thinks otherwise, like they just do what you guys do. They, you know, they don't actually play football, like something to that degree. It was, that was such a horrible, horrible thing for him to say. And I, if you're a teammate, like, why would you want to go like make the extra block for him if that's the type of effort that you're going to give? Like, it was just, it was the complete opposite of what you would teammate.
Yeah, that's bad. And you really wouldn't see that from a Mike Tomlin team. Like, that is probably the one coach that I'd most want to play for.
Yes, absolutely. That's just
in the NFL.
It's just what you picture when you think of the Steelers. It's not what you picture when you think of a Mike Tomlin team. It's not what you picture when you think of a good teammate. It's not what you picture when you think of any type of leadership at all. It's bad all around.
If Pittsburgh were to fire Mike Tomlin, the Raiders should hire him immediately.
Well, and
there should be someone at the door of Pittsburgh's facility to pick him up and send him straight to Vegas.
I think almost any, there would be very few teams that wouldn't fire their coach in order to go get Mike Tomlin. He would have a job in probably 4 seconds.
You don't think Carolina would want Mike Tomlin in their building?
But any team would want Mike Tomlin, I think.
Well, I mean, I wouldn't. I don't think Kyle Shanahan should be fired for Mike Tomlin.
Screw it.
You don't think? I think New England would fire Bill to go get Mike Tomlin.
Probably.
Which would be, I mean, that's wild to say. Okay. I'm going to take Cleveland on the road against Houston.
Cleveland on the road against Houston. Flacco.
Flacco mania, baby.
He's been, I'm so glad he's playing well.
It's so awesome. And then my last one, I'm sorry, I didn't go very flashy on these. I apologize. But then again, you did pick the Bills to beat the Chargers, so that wasn't that big of a deal.
Yeah.
I'm going to take the Colts on the road in Atlanta. So I picked two underdogs and a favorite.
The Falcons have got to be the biggest puzzle, I think, of the NFL season. Could you have more offensive talent and do less with it?
Oh, and Arthur Smith got they got fined by the NFL, right? Because they didn't report Bijan Robinson's injury.
I didn't hear
for that. Last game. Yeah, they got fined for it. They got fined like $75K for it. Yeah, really bizarre. Like, there's been like Desmond Ridder's looked good at times. They have like everyone loves Drake London. People love Bijan Robinson. Tyler Algier's shown flashes. Kyle Pitts, we all thought was going to be this physical monster at the tight end position, but none of those pieces have been put in good positions.
Yeah, like to have Tyler Algier, Bijan Robinson, Cordarrelle Patterson, Jonas, Kyle Pitts, Drake London, Van Jefferson, who is a decent deep threat. How do you score 7 points against Carolina? Like that's not.
And they still can win the division, though, because that division is so bad.
That's insane. Get Eric Bieniemy out there right now as the head coach.
Yeah, because Washington's offense is looking really good this year.
Yeah, well, I'm sorry, but like I'm trying to think. Get Eric Bieniemy out there right now. Right now. All right, so you got Commanders over Jets, Cleveland over Texans, Colts over Falcons. I have Bills over the Chargers, 49ers over the Ravens, and the Dolphins over Dallas.
I really hope the Niners win that game.
I do too. I do too. I'll be rooting for the 49ers big time on that one.
So you're a 49er, you're like a surrogate 49er fan now?
No, I mean NFC over AFC. I don't have any. I mean, I really don't. I give you crap about them all the time, but I really have nothing against the 49ers. I love George Kittle. I think this Brock Purdy thing is awesome. Deebo Samuel might be one of the funnest players in the NFL to watch, and if he's not, then Christian McCaffrey is. And I mean, we've talked about it before. Like there are certain people that when they just put on certain uniforms, they just look like they were meant to be there. I think Purdy and McCaffrey just look like they're supposed to be 49ers.
Oh my God. I could not, you say that? I could not imagine George Kittle in another jersey.
No.
That would be so sad towards the end of his career if he's gone somewhere. Like, I feel like teams, if I was running a team, I would sit there and be like, guys, I get it. Like, we suck anyway. Let's just pay a George Kittle or like a Nick Bosa later in his career. Like, there's no reason that CMC should not retire with the San Francisco 49ers.
Right.
Like, just take care of these guys. You're going to suck anyway.
I didn't realize Kittle was 30.
Yeah.
I thought he was a little younger than that.
No, he's been in the league for quite a while.
Yeah. No, I agree. I agree. What would he look? I'm not going to go into that. I'm trying to think of like a uniform he would might look good in, but that just
he'd look good in a Raider uniform. He kind of has that look.
Yeah, he does. Like sort of like unhinged a little bit.
Yeah, yeah, disheveled. Yeah,
absolutely.
He would look good right next to Max Crosby.
I was about
George Kittle and Max Crosby would be best friends.
I was going to say, can. Is there a more Raider-looking Raider than Max Crosby? I don't think
so. Well, I mean, Kittle's tatted up. He's got the mullet look going.
Crosby's got a Raider tattoo, too.
Does he really?
Yeah.
So what happens if they trade him?
I'll stop rooting for the team.
No. Like, actually. Like,
I don't know.
Like, does he have to get that covered?
I don't know. I mean, he got to start with the Raiders. He turned his life around kind of with the Raiders. So, I probably not. I mean, that's your first NFL team. I don't think there's anything wrong with that.
I don't think so either.
Yeah. I don't think so.
Is he going to win Defensive Player of the Year?
She should.
I don't think he will.
He probably won't. No, I probably not. Probably.
Should he? Yes. Will he? I don't think so.
Yeah, I don't know. If he goes crazy in the last three games and gets like two sacks per game, then and really like and he pushes to the top of the sack list, then maybe. But I don't think he's probably gonna win it. Unfortunately. And that was my pick. Like I had Jalen Hurts winning MVP last year. That almost happened. And I had Max winning defensive MVP this year, and I feel like it's so close, but I feel like he's going to be like second or third or something. But
sorry about it, dude. I know. Sound like you're crying a little bit.
I know. I'm so good at almost getting things right.
that should be like a plaque on your desk.
Best at almost getting things correct.
I'm so good at almost nailing it.
Right. Oh, man. All right. Well, we've reached the end of our show. Thank you all so much for listening. Really do appreciate it. Sorry for the late episode this week. I was sick. Definitely.
I was sick.
Huh?
I was sick, too.
Yeah, Sam was sick, too. So we just – it was not happening with both of us being sick. So enjoy the week. Enjoy the weekend. Merry Christmas. Happy holidays. Enjoy the time with your family. Enjoy the football. As always, go Kings, light the beam. And, yeah, we'll see y'all soon.
Happy holidays.